Welcome to the Run Lift Mom podcast, where we're talking about running, lifting, and momming, not necessarily in that order. Today, I have another mommy masterclass for you, and this time it's on achieving life balance. Everybody is going to define success in this area a little bit differently, but what I have for you are snippets and great advice from the many guests that I've had on this show about achieving that balance, whether it be in work and life, in fitness and life. These are mamas that know exactly what they're talking about. So without further ado, here is tons of wisdom from the guests of Run Lift Mom in achieving life balance. Erin Bradley is the founder and CEO of Zaya Active. Listen as she discusses her transition back into the working world after being a stay-at-home mom. I really love this one because the advice is you can either look at obstacles as a challenge or an opportunity. You can listen to Erin's entire episode in the show notes. Just click details. I've got it hyperlinked in there. She's also episode 11.
So that was probably the trickiest thing, like I've said, for myself. You know, I was a stay-at-home mom before that, and I was used to really being able to give my kids and my family my full attention. So it was a lot of trial and error. I would have my cute teenage daughter who's 13. She would, you know, sometimes be like, oh, why? You can't come because you're working. And I definitely felt some of that mom guilt. But, you know, Jeremiah and I sat down and we decided that we were going to have moments where we got home, like from 6 to 8, where there was no phone time whatsoever, even if we had to email people back or what it was. We were going to give that time to our family without any phone interruptions or work interruptions. And that seemed to work really well. But it's really, as I've come to understand it better and become more comfortable with it, it's actually been a really good thing that my kids have had to learn how to do things on their own. I'm still here every day. I make it an effort to make sure I pick them up from school. So I go into work after I drop them off. I'm still home to pick them up now. And I still, even though I have a faster paced life, I still try to fit it all in. So even if I can only volunteer in the class once a month versus once a week or whatever it is, I still try to fit it in and get that balance. I don't feel like I really had to give up anything. It's just maybe just really trying to find that balance of what works for each individual family. And I do love that my kids have had to learn to work together and to figure things out, and that I'm not always going to be there to do everything for them. So I do feel like there's finding that balance. I think each family just kind of needs to figure out, you know, what works for them. We've found a great balance as far as I've said, just making sure there's no work time between 6 and 8 when we get home. We take those 2 hours to really focus on the family. I'm home at by 3 o'clock, but Jeremiah is usually home at like 6.
I love that. First of all, like setting the time aside. And Erin, I want people to hear what you're saying. You can either look at this as an obstacle, i.e. mommy's back at work and doesn't have, you know, as much time as she did before, or you can look at it as an opportunity, i.e. you can start to do things for yourself and learn responsibility. That's really important for the moms out there.
Yes, you worded that beautifully. That's what it all comes down to.
Awesome. So, hey, we talked about the pillars a little bit, and I don't want to end this conversation without, talking about. Sometimes the key to achieving balance is not to overcommit to too much to begin with. Coach Kat with Purple Path Coaching gave us some fantastic advice about making to-do lists. Not only did I put this one to work, my entire Zaya Active team did as well. And we can tell you, it will work for you. Coach Kat's episode is number 23. It's also linked in the notes below.
And you may have heard this one before, but I just find it works so well. So it's just taking a post-it note. And there's a reason why I say a post-it. The reason is because it is small and you're limited to that little tiny square. It's also portable, so you can stick it wherever you want. Mm-hmm. So take a post-it note, number 1, 2, and 3 down the side, draw a line underneath, and then add 4 and 5. And then you take a look at your to-do list. This is now called your master to-do list. And the reason why I give it a different name is because many of my clients have to-do lists that will never be done. And that's okay. I think it's another mom thing. You know, the trick is to tame the beast, to be able to sort of accept this is my to-do list. I'm going to be in control of it. It's not going to overtake my life. Mm-hmm. So looking at that master to-do list, prioritize 3 things that need to be done today or of the highest priority, or at least need to be tasks that enable things to happen on time. Write those 3 things down. If it's a big thing, you need to break it up. So for example, if you need to bake a cake for tomorrow's cake stall, that might involve a trip to the shops as well as baking the actual cake. So that's 2 tasks there. And one common mistake is people will write down big things they need to do, like, okay, I need to write this essay because I'm studying part-time or something. Okay, writing an essay is massive. So there's research involved in that. There's, you know, the milestones of writing pages. Sometimes people who are overwhelmed because their to-do list has items in there that are actually made up of many tasks and they've written it down as one task. And so they never feel like they're achieving it because they can't tick anything off.
I hope people are hearing what you're saying, Kat. Look, you have such an amazing accent. I know that there are some listeners out there that are like, I'm mesmerized. I don't even know what I'm listening to right now. But y'all, get out of the stance. You've got to hear what she is saying. Oftentimes we will say, this is the thing I need to do today. And our brain sees it as one thing, but it's actually 10 things.
Yes, exactly. So break those things down and then prioritize those top 3, write them down on that post-it note. And then with the 4 and 5, there are either some bonus things you can do today or they're things that you're planning on doing tomorrow. Your aim is just to do that 1 to 3. If you do them, great, celebrate. You are awesome. And the reality is sometimes we have these massive to-do lists thinking, oh, I'll get as much done as I can. We will not get it all done. So if you prioritize those 3 things, they're manageable, you can do it. You're setting yourself up for success. Then if you have spare time and you do 4 and 5, wow, killing it. But you have to remember they're not an expectation. That's there to give you your vision for tomorrow and even start on it today if need be. So it might be something that needs a little bit of prep work today. Those things help you keep in control of your master to-do list. And when you feel like you're in control, then you will take action and you're more likely to take action. And
making I love this. I love it for the type A like myself. All right, we're talking about life balance, not about sandbagging in areas of motherhood or fitness or professional efforts. I really loved my conversation with Tracy Martins, episode number 15, also linked in the show notes, because she got really raw about what excuses she would offer up in the past prior to taking control of her health. Listen to Tracy talk about being very vulnerable, her chocolate drawer, as well as being 1% better. Aiming for that 1% as opposed to 100% better the next day will help you stay balanced but keep you from sandbagging.
Ones are excuses. We all have excuses. We all have them. So you just have to learn to kind of ditch it, you know, and just recognize that we are what we love. If you love something, that's where your time and energy goes to. And so, you know, a lot of times I'll say, I can't do that, or I'm not willing to give that up because I know it's what I love. And it also makes me feel more secure in just saying that I can't do that, you know, or I don't want to do that, because then I'm afraid, then I don't have to fear failure. You know what I mean?
So are you talking about excuses like, oh, come on, you're a 40-something-year-old woman.
Right,
are you talking about, oh, I love this type of food and I'm not going to give it up?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, both from both perspectives. You know, I'm 40, or I have a blended family, I've been, you know, don't have time. I mean, I get it. And, you know, there are hacks you've got some pretty good hacks, Susie, that can help people create time. But the food too, I'm not willing to give that up. You know, I'm not willing to give up this food because I'll tell you, you know, one of my struggles was I secretly eat chocolate, you know, just behind closed doors because my nerves would be really shot, you know, blended family. And this is relatable
like,
again.
Do you
back
mean
to
like you have like a secret candy drawer or something?
I used to, not anymore.
Really? For real?
Yeah, for real. For real. Yeah. And this is very transparent, Tracy, you know, sharing here on a big podcast.
This was not on our briefing sheet.
It
sorry,
was
Tracy.
Not.
We're off the rails.
But I know, but may, you know, something inside of me saying that maybe this will help somebody else out there. But yeah, food soothed me. It helped my stress. It helped me cope. You know, it was like a drug. I mean, when they say food can be a drug, it truly kind of was. It was like, I just felt so much better, you know, when I would have some chocolate and it's not, we're not talking like, you know, dark chocolate, little 1 ounce. I mean, I would eat. Yeah, I would eat. So my closest, dearest, deepest friends know, you know, keep the candy jar away from me because it's definitely a trigger. But yeah. So, you know, the excuses of just having to get really real with myself and then prioritize. I mean, you know, you just, that's such a big, long, you know, word of prioritizing. I mean, because it's just every day is a new day, 1% better. So if you're kind of, if you can reformat that excuse, prioritize, and then just commit to that 1% better. You know, that's a good start.
Real talk. Caroline Campbell's entire episode was about creating a job on your own terms and finding that balance. Listen as she discusses why batch working might be more efficient, but doesn't always necessarily match the lifestyle. Caroline's show was episode number 34. It's also linked in details in the show notes below. As a very, it sounds like a very specific process.
Yes.
Did someone tell you how to do that? Or did you kind of fall into it and say, okay, this is where my time needs to be spent and in what increment?
Yeah. So it's kind of something that I developed on my own. And most other resellers, we are all listing daily. I'm very part-time compared to a lot of people. So somebody who's full-time may be listing anywhere from 15 to 100 items a day. I list 3 to 5. I have a toddler and it's just not, that's what I can manage. So that's what I do right now. But basically I used to work in a different way. I used to sort of do batch work. So I would photograph all my items for the week over a couple of hours, list them all over a couple hours and sort of try to just knock out big similar tasks. And then what I found with that was that it was more efficient, but it was a lot easier to get behind. So if I missed that 2 hours or if my daughter was sick or needed extra attention and I had that time planned out, suddenly I don't have any photographs for the week if I've missed that. And so it's really hard to reinsert that like back into my week and get that done. So I think the quicker finishing a complete set of tasks each day, even though it's not as efficient, it works a lot better for our lifestyle. Cause then I'm only 1 or 2 days behind max if I miss it. And I typically only miss 1 day per month. So that's a pretty consistent.
I love it. So we've got people listening to this podcast that also have their own businesses. I'm thinking of my Zaya team.
Yeah.
So similarly, instead of batch working, a lot of us, I don't think power hour is dorky because we will split our time into thirds and we will say selling activities, follow-up activities, and development activities, i.e. checking in with team and developing yourself and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I want people to hear what you're saying, whether they're a reseller or thinking about their own business, or maybe they're one of my teammates. Hear what Caroline is saying in that if you always batch your work, if life happens and you have to hit the brakes, now you don't have that work.
Yeah. And it could be a week or two before you could get back into it. So to me, it's just not, it's more efficient, sure, but it's not working for my lifestyle. So I don't do it.
In episode 26, NICU mom Suze Lemick rocked my world in terms of the type of advice that I give others who could use more balance. I'm always telling everybody to slow down, to simplify. Listen as she described how going all in and having a full plate helped her feel like she was thriving when she had a 1.5-pound baby in the NICU. I'm happy to report that her little girl is growing and thriving today. You can listen to this entire story by clicking details, seeing the link in the show notes, or going to episode number 26.
But like, the NICU prepares you for the worst. I mean, like, there's, and I went through a weird period of time. I think Gretchen Rubin talks about this, like, some people to be happier in like a time of chaos need to really focus on like the controllables and really simplify their life. And I'm the other version of people she talks about. So I decided I would take MBA classes at Vanderbilt online, and I would try to hit the most aggressive sales goal possible because I had to have something good in every day. So maybe Audrey would have a bad day, but maybe I'd have a good sales day, or maybe I'd get a good grade on my test. And it was a really interesting experience to learn that about myself, that I need to have something good in every day, and that's how I manage stress. But I think that's something that we never really talk about for moms, of like, it's okay to need multiple ways to like get your day or spread yourself in order to be happier. I think a lot of people, I mean, everyone told me, Susie, you have to take care of yourself, make it simple, relax. But I couldn't, because, you know, I had 2 phone calls a day that I would get to make to my baby. We had to scale back to only seeing her every other day because it was affecting my milk supply going in the drive. Actually, we had a car breakdown because I was pumping while driving using the, like, you know, the cigarette lighter, and it killed the engine. So a new car. So it was a lot to have happen.
So what I hear you saying is, if you know yourself, so, you know, right, the next natural part of this podcast is to be like, well, what advice would you give a NICU parent? But I mean, I'll stop myself there, because what I hear you saying is you've got to know yourself. For you, it was helpful to have a win of any type during the day, as opposed to simplifying it.
Yes.
And kind of like some people like to know all the information. Like, I know when our kids were in the NICU, I wanted to like, oh, they're going to have this procedure done. I wanted to know everything because that gave me comfort. Whereas my husband did not want to know anything. He wanted to trust God and trust the doctors that were doing God's work, the end. He didn't need to know anything. Yeah. But both of us got comfort in that.
Well, and that's funny, because I would tell the doctors, I would say, I need, because they would give me a lot of medical jargon, because some moms do want to know everything and Google everything, and that's fantastic, and they never know what you need. But I would set up a system with them on a 1 to 10 scale, how concerned do I have to be today? And what's the biggest takeaway from this as far as like how I'm supposed to feel or what my next step is? And that was it, because I just couldn't handle the medical jargon. I couldn't put my mind on Googling what was going to come. And from the experience with Grace, I knew that that wasn't helpful for me to like do a deep dive into things that could be troubling you know, and concerning. But, and Chris was the same. What Chris was just trusting God. And I mean, like, nothing will bond your marriage more. I guess it could tear it apart, but I'm going to say bond your marriage more than going through the NICU. Because you're like war brothers, like it's like a whole nother element to your relationship to go through that. And like,
we are all going to define life balance a little bit differently, and we all have different things to balance. Balancing life with fitness, balancing life with motherhood, balancing life with side hustles or professional work. The one thing we know is that we can learn from others. We can learn from those who have been down the path before us. And I hope that this episode has helped you and that you have at least one tactical takeaway. Until I get into your earpiece again, remember, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That's from 1 Timothy 4:8, and this has been the Run Lift Mom Podcast. It's time for the Red H Nutrition product of the week, and this week it is Zen Rem. You guys hear me when I say you cannot run, lift, or mom your best if you're not getting proper rest. Yes, you are hearing me talk about the same Red H thing over and over again, but Zen Rem is my favorite product. I believe that you'll find a tangible difference in 7 days of using this. You can check out details, and then in the show notes, you'll see a hyperlink to the Red H Nutrition website. Use code RUNLIFTMOM, that's RUNLIFTMOM, for 10% off, and get to snoozin'.